my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
We are commemorating All Saints Day today. The feast day itself falls on November 1st, as you may know, but we are allowed, in fact encouraged, to celebrate it on the Sunday following the 1st. All Saints Day is one of the seven principal feast days on the church calendar. And that's worthy of note, really just as a reminder to us to pause and take seriously whatever lessons this day may teach us. In the teaching of the Episcopal Church, at least, we talk about the church, and I'm quoting here from our calendar of saints, the great cloud of witnesses. We talk about the church as the communion of saints. The church is the communion of saints. The church is the people, all of the people, and the people are the communion of saints. That is, a people made holy through their mutual participation in the mystery of Christ. That communion exists through history, exists now, and endures beyond the grave and gate of death. There are a couple of things that I like in particular about that description of the church, of us. First is its broadness and its inclusivity. All those who participate in any way, as seekers, as searchers, as prayers, as doubters, all those who participate are saints. Saints are not some special sort that are set apart. It's a broad and motley crew who make up the saints of God. And secondly, we talk about the communion of saints. It's almost as though, in one sense, there's no such thing as a singular saint, an individual saint. There is the communion of saints. As saints, we are always part of a communion. A communion that unites us who gather, but unites us even more broadly, as the teaching says, across time, with saints past and even yet to come. Thinking about saints and thinking about all saints, I want to take a little bit of a detour before I circle back to All Saints Day. A little bit of a detour through Celtic spirituality, which, as you may know, is a modern movement that has very ancient roots. And there are undoubtedly some of you who are probably more versed in the practices of Celtic spirituality than I am. It is not something that I have made a particular case of study in my own life, although there are aspects of what is often described as Celtic spirituality that I know about, at least, that I know to be wonderful, and it's one of those that I want to talk about. The idea of thin places. Thin places. Some of you have heard that, I know. Thin places. And to talk about what is meant within the world of Celtic spirituality, what is meant by thin places, I actually want to quote a secular writer, because I think that even for those who are perhaps familiar with the idea, perhaps familiar with the experience of thin places, hearing it described by a non-theologian, someone who doesn't even really, as best I can tell, practice any particular spiritual discipline can be helpful. This is a piece that appeared in that great theological journal, the New York Times, about 6 years ago, by an author who some of you may know. He was new to me, Eric, and I don't know if he pronounces it Weiner or Wiener. I'm going to go with Weiner. Eric Weiner. And this appeared in the New York Times as a travel article. So this is written by a writer with a gnawing interest, I think, in things spiritual, written for the New York Times as a travel article. And he writes, "I am drawn to places that beguile and inspire, sedate and stir, places where, for a few blissful moments, I loosen my death grip on life and can breathe again." It turns out these destinations, these travel destinations, have a name: thin places. They are locales, geographic spots. They are locales where the distance between heaven and earth collapses, and we are able to catch glimpses of the divine or the transcendent. He continues, I'm excerpting from the piece. He continues, "It's not clear who first uttered the term thin places, but they almost certainly spoke with an Irish brogue. The ancient pagan Celts, and later Christian Celts, used the term to describe mesmerizing places like the windswept Isle of Iona, now a part of Scotland, or the rocky peaks of Downpatrick, where Patrick is said to have landed on the Irish Isle. Heaven and earth, the Celtic saying goes, are only 3 feet apart. But in thin places, that distance is even shorter." Thin places. This idea that there are geographic places where we can experience, know, the breathtaking, breath-giving wonder of being in the presence of the transcendent, with a closeness, tangibleness that is inescapable. Weiner continues, "Travel to thin places does not necessarily lead to anything as grandiose as a spiritual breakthrough, whatever that means. But it does, he says, disorient. It confuses, in a good way. We lose our bearings and find new ones. We are jolted out of old ways of seeing the world, and therein lies the transformative magic of encountering a thin place. Being there is transformative. Being that close to the transcendent is transformative." I got off on this track because I recently came across a description of this time that we are in right now, this broad All Saints time that we are in right now, this time in which we think about All Hallows' Eve, the hallowed time, All Saints, All Souls, the wonderful cultural traditions of Dia de los Muertos. All of these things that are part of this time of the year, this time when we are just on the cusp of winter. I recently read this time described as a thin time. A thin time. Like a thin place. But rather than being a geographic locale, It is a time in the cycle of calendar and seasons. A thin time. A time when the communion of saints draws closer. The communion of saints. When that bond that we share with the saints around us, the saints who have gone before, and even the mysterious wonder of the saints yet to come, when that bond is tightened, when whatever it is that separates us from them is diminished, when the veil between our world and theirs becomes translucent, heaven is close. Those in particular who have gone before, come near. Those whom we know and cherish and remember, and those whom we don't. And the ancient saints of yore, come nearer. We experience in our lives now at least some of the divine fullness of life that they bear. We experience it as something that touches us in this thin time. And it has been the experience of many, many countless people over the centuries, that this communion of saints, this communion of saints that we perceive as near to us now, that this communion of saints that the author of Hebrews calls that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, it has been the experience of countless people over the centuries that this communion of saints offers to us revelation, the revealing of the transcendent, support in our own times of need, and guidance in our search. Guidance in our search to draw closer to that which ultimately nourishes us. In this thin time, when we perceive them near, we are particularly open to receiving this revelation, support, and guidance. How is it that we come to actually experience these thin places and thin times? It's one thing to talk about them, it is one thing to hear others describe them. But how do we enter into that experience of a thin place or a thin time? Mr. Weiner talks about that. He says, to a large degree, you stumble upon them. You stumble upon these times and places that are thin. And he recommends that we have no expectation, that we do not enter into a place or a time with a certain rigid set of expectations. He says, nothing gets in the way of a genuine experience more than expectations. That's true in a lot of realms of life, but which explains why so many spiritual journeys disappoint. He says, don't rely on friends or guidebooks, because their thin place may not be yours. Their thin time may not be yours. And the place that is thin for you today may or may not be tomorrow. It may be some other unexpected place that becomes transparent to the transcendent. There are some places, certainly, some geographic places and some specific times, which seem to be consistently thin for a large number of people. Places like Iona, times like All Saints. But ultimately, these places come to us, these times wash over us, I think we can best be searchers, people who search for these times and places, not necessarily knowing when or where we will find them, but people who are actively seeking that sort of experience and open to it. I want to say one more thing about thinness, thin times. One way to approach the experience of participating in Holy Communion is to think of it, as potentially a thin time, a thin place, gathering at the Lord's table to experience the holy meal. A thin time, a thin place. My favorite book on liturgy, which I think I quoted from before, Liturgy for Living, talking about the Eucharist, talking about Holy Communion, talking about what actually happens in that experience, what happens in particular to the bread and the wine. This book discusses the pros and cons of different theories of transformation of the bread and wine, transubstantiation, transessentiation, memorialism, but ultimately describes the Eucharist, describes participating in Holy Communion as a mystery of time. Mystery of time. In this act, God gives God's presence to us. God gives God's own presence to us. And in God's presence, all times are one. All times, past, present, and future, are one. And when God gives God's self to us, in this gathering at the Lord's table, we enter into God's time, a mysterious time when past, present, and future join. It is not just, the authors of the book say, it is not just the sacramental elements that are transformed, the bread and the wine. It is the whole moment. It is transformed. The whole moment, the time. Congregation, priest, bread, wine, all. All is transformed. It is such a thin time that the separation between our time and God's time, between our presence and God's presence, disappears. And we experience God's time, God's presence, and also the fullness of communion with all of God's saints. These experiences of thin places and thin times are transforming. We are changed by them. Search for and be open to them in your own lives. Be open to the transforming experience of seeing the world in a new way. Having, in the words of a secular author writing for the New York Times, having an experience when I loosen my death grip on life and can breathe again, can live again. Thin times, thin places. Search for them and welcome them in your life.